Hello and welcome to A Problem Squared, the podcast, which is a lot like a baseball game.
Oh.
In that there is far more maths than...
There's a lot of maths if you know where to look for it.
...than some people expect. But there's also fireworks and fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Parker, the aforementioned maths section.
It's been a long week, Beck.
It's been a long week. And I am Beck... The arguably fireworks. Yeah, not in terms of loudness or sparkliness, but more to do with my IBS. In this episode...
We're in New York. We did a show. It's very exciting.
We went to a baseball game.
And we'll solve the problem of how central the park is.
So, stay tuned. Matt.
Beck.
Hi. Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness. So, what a week.
Yes. Yeah, so, firstly, hi, listeners. Now, if you are new to the podcast, I just want to say, first of all, the sound quality is usually much tighter.
That's very true.
Yeah, we are currently recording this in an Airbnb in New York.
In Brooklyn. Right next to a busy road.
Yes, next to a window on lapel mics.
Yes, with an elevated subway line.
Yeah, without our producer present due to time difference.
Yep.
I mean, we're really...
We've got absolute free reign.
Lauren has her work cut out for her this episode.
We are traditionally in a studio in the UK.
Yes.
But we're almost at the end of our New York week. Like, we are recording this hours before I depart for the airport.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure we could talk about the whole week and thank everyone who came and said hello.
Yeah. So we did a show on Thursday night at Caveat, which was an evening of Unnecessary Detail. And we had a bunch of podcast listeners come in, which is very exciting. It's always a pleasure to meet podcast listeners, especially because it makes me feel a little less dead weighty. So I appreciate that. Also, you've had some people tell you at other talks and stuff that you've done during this week that they listen to the pod.
Yes, absolutely. I was speaking at the Academy of Math and Programming, which is a course for high school students that my dear friends at Jane Street run, and some people there. Not only do they say hello afterwards, quite a few of them that listen to the podcast. Hello to all of you who are listening now.
Hi.
One of them emailed you to let you know I didn't properly promote the podcast.
Yeah.
In my educational talk, or the word educational is.
And Matt has vowed to make up for this by doing a special video.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's just found out.
It's been a relentless week. I filmed two videos, which have been a lot of fun. We did the live show, bunch of talks, and met a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And enjoyed New York, the chaos of New York.
Yep. That's right. I got slightly thrown by the fact that there's table service at the Caveat now.
Oh, my goodness. I always forget about table service.
Yeah. So I thought that there were some people talking quite loudly in the audience.
Well, they were. There were people talking quite loudly.
They were talking loudly, to be fair. And then went to do some classic...
Classic crowd work.
Crowd work. Then realised, wait, they're not being rude. I seem rude because I'm having a go at people just ordering some drinks and the staff.
So for people who aren't familiar with this, in the UK, you get your drinks before the show or during an interval.
Yes.
And then you take your seat. And if you haven't got your drinks in time or you haven't got food delivered, it won't show up during the active show.
Yes.
Whereas in the US, there's like people wait staff walking around in the amongst the audience.
Yeah.
Taking and delivering orders.
Yeah.
Sometimes at pretty much speaking volume.
Yeah.
And
it's distracting.
It's distracting, but there's the weird social contract that everyone just completely ignores.
Yeah. Unless you're a tourist who isn't used to it and then gets ready to have a bit of banter.
Classic Beck Bantz.
Yeah. And then just comes across like I'm furious with some people just ordering some
drinks.
Just
having a good night out.
Yeah, just having a nice night out. Then realize that I didn't have time to get into that.
I can see your brain. You're like, oh, do I gracefully pull myself out of this nosedive?
Yeah.
Or do I just abandon ship?
I just abandoned it and then pushed on and hoped everyone would forgive me, which by the end, when I did some terrible karaoke.
You won them all back.
Yeah, I like to think that more than just they pitied me.
No, no, you had them completely on board.
But it was a lot of fun. And we went to a ball game last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
We took ourselves out to the ball game.
We did.
A kind friend, Truman, had tickets to the ball game and invited us along.
Yes.
We had an immense amount of fun.
Oh, my goodness. It turns out that what I need to get me interested in sport is some form of activity to do while the sport is happening. Because Truman's invented this has put together this incredible scoring card specifically for the games.
Yes, it's when baseball's renowned for having a lot of stats.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things you can record. And on the screen at the game, they will give you some summary stats and they'll give you some detail about what's going on. But if you really want to get... Oh, there comes the subway train. Is it the J train? it sounds like a J train.
You don't think it's the M?
No, that's the J. If you really want like a play-by-play record of what's going on, then you need to write it down yourself. And Truman's designed their own sheet.
Yeah.
It's like an analog spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And you get to write all the players' names in.
And I like it because there's little symbols, like drawing, essentially, that you have to...
There's like little diamonds, and you can draw how far the person gets around the diamond.
I really enjoyed that.
And loads of codes.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty granular detail, where, you know, if someone is struck out, if they strike, you can indicate that differently if it was a strike where they tried to swing at the ball and missed.
Yes.
Versus a strike where they didn't swing, but it went into the strike rectangle, which I think is the official name.
Yes, that's what they call it.
Yes. Well, I thought it was very interesting is we got our sheets at the beginning of the game. The game was, what, approximately 3 hours?
Yeah, about that.
And I was curious to see how long different people would spend meticulously entering the detail into their sheets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was quite proud. I did the whole game.
You did?
Apart from when I left... To go to the bathroom or...
Rightfully gave it to Truman to fill in it for
you. I passed it right down the line and got Truman to look after it while I was gone. Alex, who was also there with us, Alex is my camera person and editor extraordinaire. Alex, I think, dropped out by the second innings.
Yep.
And when did you go? How far did you go with your sheet?
I technically got the whole sheet filled in, but I think there's a couple of missing bits. And at one point I filled in the wrong inning. And Truman had to put little arrows to show that I was going to be in the next. So, which is on brand.
Yeah.
As someone who gets very focused on doing something, but ultimately will get it wrong.
But it achieves its goal of enriching the baseball experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if activity sheets were handed me for all other sports, I'd be well.
You'd be, you know what? I've been to two baseball games now. One baseball game, I did not have a stat sheet to fill in as the game went along.
Mm.
And this game I did. And I had, and this is no reflection on the company I had, just my own inside my head experience, I had more fun with the sheet.
Yeah.
I paid more attention to the game. This time before, players were fungible. When someone's up to bat, I'm like, it's another batting person. But now I'm like, oh, it's that person again and Alonzo. And on the sheet I can see our last time, they hit it to the outfielder number 8 because all the positions are numbered.
Yes.
And you annotate where the ball's thrown.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's so good. And I'm like, oh, they hit it over there last time or they did this. And you can see the whole game at a glance. So I felt more immersed in the game. I was paying more attention to the players and the teams. And it gave me... the kind of macro view of what was going on that I didn't get last time where I'm just watching people throw and hit the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm acutely aware of who's up to bat, where we are in the innings, what's got to happen next.
It was the best way for me to learn about a sport because I've been to other sporting events before and I couldn't necessarily tell you what happened in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what the rules of the game were. And I still couldn't for this. But I feel somewhat closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what the worst part of the baseball game was for me?
The size of the hot dogs.
Not the size. The hot dogs were smaller than I expected.
They were small, but delicious.
They were good.
Yeah, they're very good.
I had 2 hot dogs.
Yeah, me too.
I regret nothing.
No, me either.
That was not it.
The little bit of rain at the beginning?
No, the rain just reminded me that it wasn't raining the rest of the time.
Mmm, nice.
The worst bit there was a single home run.
Yes.
In the entire game.
Yes.
And I was not there. I had gone to get
Matt
some more drinks.
Yeah, Matt went to the toilet. Oh, no, you went to get drinks.
I went to get drinks for that one.
And, yeah, and then there was the one home run where it went, like, it's out of here. And
two times I left my seat.
Mm.
Two times I even looked away from the field or the diamond or the pitch, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And I was so efficient.
Yeah.
And while I was gone, the only home run.
And, yeah, and then the second time you went was when we all sang Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I came running back for that.
Oh, and there was fireworks afterwards. And a lightning
and
strike.
And a lightning strike.
There was
the
a lightning strike that happened while we were watching the fireworks, and all four of us went, oh! And
it was pretty incredible.
I felt like a child. I was so thrilled. Delightful. All right, let's solve a problem. Our problem for this episode is from Jeff. Jeff asks, is Central Park really in the centre of Manhattan?
How central is Central Park?
What a great question.
Yeah. So we decided to do a one problem, two solution approach.
Yes.
This time. Although we did not go to Central Park.
We did not.
No, we thought about it and then we didn't have time.
Yeah. We're a little bit worse for wear.
Yeah. But we can look at maps.
Yes, we can.
So we've both taken a map-based approach.
Yeah. What better thing to do while in New York than to spend an afternoon in a B&B without much
light or air?
Yeah.
We'll sleep.
And look at some Google Maps.
Now, I had going to Central Park quite high up my list this time, because when they originally put the grid system into Manhattan, when they were surveying it, so it was it's called something like the Grid Commission of 1811.
Mm.
In the early 1800s, because before that, it was just like organically developed roads at the very bottom of Manhattan. Oh. So everything below like Wall Street is just chaos.
Okay.
Because Wall Street was the original wall of the city.
Right.
And so everything down there was just building up.
Okay.
And after a while, I mean, the Dutch had it for a while when it was New Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
The British took it. I mean, the Dutch took it as well. Like it's been handed
everyone's
around.
Taken,
yeah, everyone's taken it from someone else. And then for the early 1800s, like, we've got to sort out this road system. And so they survey the whole thing and work out where they're going to put in this grid, which was, you know, not everyone was a big fan. People whose communities were going to be moved or removed because of the grid, not as on board.
Yeah, fair enough.
As the people who wanted to own the new land. So anyway, so it was a bit controversial and it wasn't fair to everyone, but they sent a surveyor out and over several years they marked out the complete grid. And in the original plan, they weren't going to put in Central Park.
Ah.
Streets the whole way.
Yeah.
They put in not nearly enough public spaces. And then they later came in and put in some public spaces.
Mm.
Ironically, I think Central Park as a public space is on top of one of the communities who were forcefully removed.
Oh, no.
So it's a bit terrible. But because it was decided on after the fact, they'd already done the surveying. And somewhere in Central Park is at least one of the original surveying bolts that were put in to the ground to mark where the corners of the streets and avenues are going to go.
Huh.
And a lot of them are gone, obviously. All the ones that then became streets and avenues are gone. Mm-hmm. And people aren't familiar, the streets are the horizontal lines.
Yeah.
And the avenues are the vertical. But because Central Park was a change of plan late in the game, a lot of them were still there. And there's two rumored ones elsewhere on Manhattan, and there's one confirmed one. That's a 200-year-old metal spike in a rock. And I've previously gone and found it.
Oh.
Lucy and I, a few trips ago, went and found it. And what I think is very funny is there's a tradition online of never confirming where it is.
Yeah.
So part of the challenge is finding it.
Yeah.
And which I enjoyed immensely.
Yeah.
And so I spent a long time traipsing around, because it's going to be one of the phantom junctions that line up with the streets and avenues.
Yeah, yeah.
Around it.
It's like when you find a really cool bar and you're like, I'm not going to tell people to go to this bar. I'm going to take them to it one day.
That's it.
So that they go, oh my gosh, how did you find this bar?
And the bar doesn't get too busy and popular.
Exactly.
So there's nothing. The spike's just there. And so it's not protected or anything. It's only protected by its obscurity.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is interesting.
And that's why there have been a bunch of rumors of other ones that have been found on Manhattan. And I, from my vague research, there are two that are plausibly could be the original. And a bunch that aren't. They're just other bits of metal or old things or whatever the case would be. But I love the grid. And so I thought I would solve Jeff's problem by looking at the grid and working out where's the middle of the grid.
Okay.
Now, here's our issue. First Street starts partway up the island.
Oh, yeah.
You've already got all the other roads underneath it. Mm-hmm. And directly below First is a street that looks like it's called Houston.
Okay.
It's not.
Oh, yes. We had this last year because we were walking up there.
Houston.
And I remember being like, isn't it Houston? You were like, no.
Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said Houston in a video and got corrected.
Right. That's how we learn.
Yeah. I calculated the linear equation of Broadway because that's the diagonal road that cuts through all the other ones.
Ah.
So I found the equation where you can plug in.
Of course you did.
The avenue, and it will tell you which streets it crosses between.
Brilliant.
Because it's a straight line on a grid. It's a linear equation.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun. So, separate trip to the one where I found the spike in Central Park.
Yeah.
So I knew already from doing that the Zerith Street is Houston, and you go into like the alphabet avenues, and so you a Zerith one there, which is to the right because annoyingly the avenues are numbered right to left.
Okay.
Which is a perfectly valid direction, but it just is the opposite to what I'd normally do on a plot.
Yeah.
But you can work out this one over here is this. And so what I did was I took the map of Manhattan. In fact, I'll show it to you here. I took the map of Manhattan, and you can see I've then extended the street system and the avenue system out to fill the bits where it doesn't exist.
Yeah, nice.
So here, the bottom of the island is exactly on negative 40th Street.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
It's not deliberate, as best I know. But it's exactly on negative 40th. I would be amazed if that was deliberate.
I mean, it's got to be deliberate that lines up with what would be a road.
So if you extend the grid system, the island goes from negative 40 to positive 222.
Okay.
So that means the exact middle street of Manhattan is 91st Street.
Okay.
That's the middle.
Yeah.
Did the same thing with the avenues. They're a bit weird because the distance between them isn't as consistent.
Okay.
But I extended the local distances on either side out to the extremities and worked out that it goes from negative 6th Avenue over in the east to positive 15th Avenue in the west. And in both cases, it falls about the same amount short of hitting where those would have been. So the midpoint is somewhere, it's exactly between 4th and 5th Avenue.
Okay.
So now we need to know, is 91st and 4.5 in Central Park?
All right.
Well, I worked out the middle of Central Park. Central Park runs from 59th to 110th Street. So the exact middle point is 84.5 Street. So it's close. It's like 6.5 streets away.
That is close.
The exact middle is real close, and side to side, instead of being between 4th and 5th Avenue, the exact middle of the park is between 6th and 7th.
Okay.
So it's close. So you know what, I'll drop a pin in Google Maps here. So there's 91st, and I said between 4th and 5th, where's 3rd, 4th and 5th? It's there. Oh, there's an actual intersection there. That point there, corner of Madison Avenue and 91st Street is the exact middle of Manhattan.
Hey, there was a diner there. What's it called?
A gluten-free one called Noglu.
Oh, yeah.
And a French restaurant.
If you want to dine near the center of Manhattan.
Yeah. So it's close. It's not in the park, though. Mm. So it's very, very close. It lines up with the massive lake reservoir-y thing in the center of Central Park. And Central Park is an outrageously big park for people who have not seen it. What I thought was particularly interesting is there is an area of Manhattan called Midtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you think that should be the middle.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, it's defined as, I forget the street, it's a certain street up to Central Park.
Yeah.
It's Midtown. But that's not the middle of town.
No.
So Central Park starts in uptown.
Yeah.
But it is mid-town.
Yeah.
But anyway, my grand conclusion is vertically, it's very close.
Yes.
And horizontally, and to be fair, it is a long, skinny park. So it was way more likely that it would be, you could get a lot of freedom up and down. You're still inside the park, whereas side to side is much more narrow. So I'm not surprised it's slightly off.
Matt, my only question is that Manhattan is not a rectangle.
No.
And it's not perfectly straight either. It sort of
has
a little bit of a kink to it.
Yeah.
Which means that...
And it's about 30 degrees off the grid lining up with latitude, longitude.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
It's on a bit of a jaunty angle.
Huh. Yeah, so that means that there are streets that you've got where there's no landmass, but you're like the negative
space... Yeah, they barely
space.
Clip the land.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
so you couldn't technically count that.
Yeah, I've done
it. It could make a difference.
Now, you know what? A lot of people argue, and there's so many people with vested interests in where the center of a country is.
Mm.
If you go visit a country, like I know the US has a couple of towns that all claim to be in the middle of.
Yeah.
Because they use definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all different. And so I've used the definition of the extreme points. I've gone extreme left and right relative to the grid and extreme top and bottom compared to the grid, which is not the same as the most east or the most west or north or south, because I've compensated for the orientation. But you're right for my narrow definition.
Yeah.
That ignores landmass.
Which is why this is a two-pronged solution.
Yeah. Here comes the other time.
I'd love to take credit for this, but you did give me...
I mentioned it.
You mentioned this.
And you ran with it.
You mentioned that to find the center of a country, they would take the map of the country and then basically make a cardboard shape.
Cut it out, yes.
Cut it out and then try and balance it.
Yep. Center of mass.
Yeah. And then find out where...
So sometime, I think it was the middle of the 20th century-ish, they did make a giant cutout of the contiguous United States and balance it on a point. And if you go to that point, and I've never visited it, I would love to one day, I think it's to the left of Nebraska-ish, is the center of mass center.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a delightfully physical way of calculating.
It's brilliant. I love it. Now, I love playing with card.
Yep.
I'm a big craft
head.
Love
a bit of making and doing.
I do. So I saw this as a great opportunity to try and do this. Now, I will say that, like the recording of this podcast,
yep,
it's a bit higgledy-piggledy.
It's things we had lying around.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas back home, you know, I've got access to my nice Stanley knives and
stationery.
I could project the map onto a nice big piece
goodness.
Of card and then do that. But I don't have those things with me here.
What
so instead,
did you have, Beck?
I had my laptop and some baking paper.
Was that
actually? It's not baking paper; it's wax paper.
Was that in the kitchen here?
It was in the kitchen.
Oh,
here.
That's handy.
Now, I should say baking paper is better because you can use that as tracing paper.
Yep.
Wax paper, famously, very hard to
draw on it.
But we did have a permanent marker. So
oh my goodness.
Had to get a map of Manhattan on my laptop and then sort of scroll.
I've just
and
seen
move.
It, listeners. That's what's going on here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had to scroll up and along the map.
Because you wanted your cutout to be bigger than the screen.
Yeah.
So you had to keep scrolling the screen and dragging the paper with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I'm pretty sure it's fairly accurate.
Right.
And then we used a giant pizza box left over from dinner on the first
it's
night
made
here.
From a New York pizza box.
Yeah.
Which, if anyone's not American, is bigger than you're thinking.
Yeah. It's,
like, it was kind of like the width of the doorway coming into the building.
And I took a wild stab at whether the map that the zoomed...
Oh, your level
version,
of zoom.
Or zoom in. Because I'd have to then put it into a thing and look at what that... And I didn't have time. And I managed to get it diagonally on the box perfectly. I've never been more happy. Then I had to use a stunty little pair of scissors from a first aid kit to cut it out.
It took you so long.
If you've ever tried to cut corrugated cardboard with a tiny pair of scissors. But I managed to do it. So it's as accurate as I could with this scenario. I then marked out where Central Park is in there.
I can see you've drawn a rectangle on it.
Yep. And then I proceeded to spend quite some time trying to balance it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to not look at what you were doing, partly because I had to finish working out where my phantom streets went.
Yes.
And partly I didn't want to ruin the big reveal.
Well, this is why I enjoyed you showing me your grid so much, because I will pop a photo of this on socials, but Matt, you can see once I found the point that it seemed to do the best balancing, I perforated a little hole there.
Yep.
And if I show that to you.
No, that.
Yeah.
No. I'm balancing Manhattan on a point inside Central Park, which is not a million miles away.
It's not a million miles away from
From my dot.
It's more.
Could I try and
east?
Work out where that is?
Well, that was what I wanted to do with you.
Okay, here we go. So, what I'm doing, everyone. So, it is. Oh, we haven't got a ruler, do we? So I'm going to estimate it is one.
It's about a pendulum from the bottom, isn't it?
And a half. It's 40% of the way up.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
And I would say it's maybe a third of the way in.
Yeah.
Which is quite convenient because there are three avenues.
Ooh.
Worth. So you're almost exactly on 6th Ave.
Yeah.
And your center point. Let's zoom. Oh, actually, you know what?
I would like to know is it anywhere near your cornerstone?
Like, oh, that's very interesting. I think it is. It's very close. It's on the correct avenue. The one I found is on 6th.
Ooh.
Yeah, I need to triple check the street. So Central Park is 51 streets high. So it's approximately 20 up. And it starts at 59th. So 79th or 80th. That's very close to the center of the park. So the center of the park is 84th and a half street.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the order of, let's call it 84th street.
Mm-hmm.
Your dot, me eyeballing it, is about 80th. So that's close. And you've put it on 6th Avenue and the center of the park is between 6th and 7th. It's the middle.
Wow.
That's only a third in. I want to respect the tradition of not saying where the spike is. No, the spike is, I will say the spike is further south, further downtown than yours, but it is one of the non-existent intersections that would have been on 6th.
There you go.
There you go. Wow. So what do we think on the balance of things? Is Central Park the Central Park?
I mean, it's close, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really close.
I'm prepared to say, given the center of mass of Manhattan is in Central Park.
Yeah.
It's Central Park.
Now, with the limited time that we had, I did try and do some research to see if there had been any sort of information about why they specifically chose.
Oh, put it there.
Like, did they know, did they do it based on that? And then, you know, they're like, oh, Central Park, let's make it a central.
It
let's work out what the center is and work.
Or do they put it there first in the name?
Yeah. Now, in the time that we had, I wasn't able to find that information.
Yep.
If we'd had more time, potentially we would have.
It'll be interesting because the history of why Central Park came about, it's complex. But
yes.
I suspect it was just far enough north that it wasn't on any important rich person's land.
Yeah,
It was on poor and marginalized communities that could be moved out of the way.
Yeah.
That's my sad and cynical guess.
No, I think that's fair.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
But the fact that the center of mass is in Central Park is really pleasing.
It's very pleasing.
I'm prepared to say that is the superior central point of Manhattan than my street and avenue malarkey.
I would like to say if there are any listeners who know more about this subject than we do or...
Any of the above.
Anyone who may have done this test before with not a pizza box cut out with...
You're not going to get more New York than this.
I mean, it's very New York.
Pizza by the slice. You cut around the little
I would have done
parks
more.
And everything.
I would have done more, but that's great. I think this is another giveaway.
You want to give away our Manhattan?
To a lucky listener.
Okay. So we will. We still got to draw at the time of recording. Mm-hmm. We still got to draw the Parker Square winner.
Yep.
And that's July. How about at the end of August, we'll draw the Map of Manhattan winner?
Yeah, done.
Deal.
This is a work of art.
It just means in the meantime, we don't know if we take it back to the UK with us or we leave it here. I'll work out the center of mass of all of our Patreon supporters. And if it's closer to the UK, we'll take it back. If it's closer to the US, we'll leave it with a buddy here.
Yeah, nice. Speaking of Patreon supporters, I just wanted you to know that song is just for you guys. I don't know if it got picked up on the microphone, but...
A very loud car drove by.
Yes, yeah. So we like to thank three of our Patreon supporters at random at the end of each episode, specifically...
Chuck White, Chuck Witty.
This one's going to be hard for me.
Yeah, good luck.
Tim.
It's Tim.
I can't get this. How do you get Tim wrong? I feel like
Timmy.
Tim. I feel like you just not. John. Well,
Matt, yeah. You can overpronounce
completely
an M.
Wrong name.
It's a silent I.
Yeah. Or they're all silent. It's Tim. Trademark. Good old trademark.
Good old Tim. And Aeronaut. Arion out.
Thank you. Thank you, supporters. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you for new listeners.
Yes, what a weird episode to start on.
Yes, I don't know why you would start here, but we appreciate it.
Maybe you came to the show, you came to an evening of Unnecessary Detail, you enjoyed it so much, you're like, I will listen to the next episode.
Yeah, and you wrongfully decided to work your way backwards, which I wonder if that means you get spoilers for previous episodes because we normally have any other business at the end of
That's true. And we do have a policy of making sure new listeners don't feel left out. So we do a lot of casual recapping.
Yes.
I think is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So everyone's enjoying the ride. Some people did ask, what episode is the best one to start on?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. So
Let us know.
We didn't know what to say. I said, go back 10.
Okay.
And then, because then you can listen to them faster than we made them. Early
yes.
on, when it's new and exciting.
That's true.
And by the time they're starting to wear off, then you will have caught up to the new ones coming out.
That's true.
And you can always fill in the prequels.
I think if you have a favourite,
yeah.
go to the problem posing page, aproblemsquared.com, click solution in the drop-down, and let us know. What's your favourite episode? What episode do you tell
what
people to
start
with?
Because it's not just... the best single episode to listen to first, that's when you're going to pick up all the stories and carry forward.
Yeah.
So let us know.
And this podcast wouldn't be possible without my brilliant co-host, Matt Parker.
That's me. I think we knocked it out of the park.
Hey.
That's why they call me Matt, knocked it out of the parker.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't make that. That. I didn't
You're
make a
very
ball...
tired, Beck. Very tired.
I can't believe I didn't make a ballparker gag last night.
You know what? There are so many cliches and sayings and expressions that come out of baseball,
yeah.
and we've used roughly zero of them. We, in that regard, struck out.
Nice.
Thank you.
baseball. I'm done, guys. I'm done. I'm so sorry. This is not my usual standard of banter.
It's or
is
real.
It? It's real, man. Strap in. So, on that note, thank me. Thank
yeah,
you, me,
you
for being the other host. And thank you, as always, to our wonderful producer, Lauren Armstrong Carter. There's going to be a sting now.
Who was listening to this afterwards and making it work.
Doing her best to make it sound good. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Done.